and welcome to edition 263 of the NRF1 podcast, because Norfolk knows Formula One. This is your F1 podcast straight out of Norfolk, UK. We're not sat in the iconic Rushcutters pub yet again, I'm afraid, although we could be soon with pubs set to reopen. Yeah, we're back in our homes, ready to record another lockdown podcast, and it is with a strange sense of deja vu that we're here to preview the 2020 Formula One season. I'm your host for today, the Red Bull fan from south of the border, Katie Sandals, and joining me tonight on the podcast, we have two times Beccles kart champion, Kyle Cumbers.
Hello.
And we have Norfolk's own Italian, Alex Formigali. Hi, Alex.
Ciao.
Chaps, how are we feeling? It's another lockdown podcast. Alex, you did the last one. How are things?
All good. I mean, as you said, we're still in lockdown. You know, never been enjoying my home as much as I've been so far in the past few months. Looking forward for Formula One, obviously. Football, obviously, has already started, but that's set aside. Looking forward for some proper racing. That is obviously not like esports, because it's nice at the beginning, but then it gets a bit boring.
Yeah, we have enjoyed some good esports for a while, with some good sort of Norfolk competition in there as well. Nice to see the boys up high on the podiums in there, but we'll talk a bit about that later. Kyle, how are you feeling?
I'm all good. Friends and family are all healthy, so that's all you can probably ask for at the moment. I'm looking forward to the sports starting up, especially F1, and there's all sorts going on, so I'll be probably going back into lockdown to watch all the sport over the next few months.
It sounds like the best lockdown possible, with all at home but with all the sports. That's what we wanted, and finally we've got it. Before we keep going, just a little social media plug for everybody. You can follow us, as always, on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. The handle for all three of those is at the NRF1, or you can email us. The email address is nrf1podcast@gmail.com. It'd be great if you guys would get involved in our F1 Fridays. We just had one. We're recording this on Saturday. So yeah, we just had an F1 Friday where we were discussing... What were we discussing this week? It was, the moment that you wish you'd witnessed in person. I decided to be incredibly controversial and say I'd have liked to be behind the scenes at the 2005 American Grand Prix just to see all the drama, really.
That was a good choice. That was.
Yeah, I think to be a fly on the wall in that situation would have been really, really interesting. But if you'd like to share your controversial or perhaps less controversial opinions on different subjects, we'll be doing more of those F1 Fridays going forward. And just another note for a different platform, please do give us a follow on Twitch. I don't think we have many followers on there, but it'd be great to get more people involved. We're going to be having some live F1 discussions on there. If you're not aware, Twitch is a live streaming platform, so you'll be able to interact with us in real time. Very exciting. So do keep an eye on our social media or other channels for when we'll be going live on that. Give us a follow on Twitch. So obviously the main thing we're going to be talking about today is that new season preview. But we're just sort of briefly, we're going to touch on something else that's been very big in F1 news recently. We're going to talk briefly about We Race As One, which is the new initiative, which is hoping to sort of change, see a change in society and sport, improving diversity and inclusion in sports like F1. We'll see it in a very visual form from next weekend. I think this pitch has already been going online with the halo, with the rainbow on the halo, sort of to represent this campaign. Obviously, Lewis Hamilton's been talking about the change that he wants to see in the sport. I mean, it's a good step forward. What do we think of? It's all come about very quickly, and on the back of what's been going on elsewhere, is this a good step forward? What sort of needs to happen next?
It's a good step forward. But we just need to keep it going. There's various proposals probably in the years gone by, and sort of the momentum has sort of died out. And just hopefully that this can keep going. Formula One is a world championship, so it should represent the whole world and people from different backgrounds. And I'm just, yeah, just hoping it carries on. And obviously it helps Lewis Hamilton with his sort of presence on social media, and he's keep pushing it. Yeah, I just hope it makes a difference. Obviously it may take a lot of time, so we may have to be patient, but yeah, hopefully momentum keeps going and see a difference.
Yeah, I think it's been great to see sort of Lewis he's been quite prominent on Instagram, especially in recent days and recent weeks about this. So it's sort of great to see him kind of spearheading it from the front, as it were. So yeah, let's move on then to the season preview. We're back at it. Who'd have thunk it a few months ago? You know, it's great that we do have a new season. Carl, you did the original preview for this season. this must be a strange sense of deja vu looking back at it again, but a very different season.
Yeah, just before that, I was trying to remember what I said there. I'm probably going to contradict myself on maybe some of the predictions I made at the time. I'm quite sort of probably looking forward to it more than any other season away, because it's going to be so different, and we're going to sort of, in so many years in the future, we'll look back on this season and go, oh yeah, that was all a bit mad, and hopefully, obviously, that probably depends on if the racing's any good. I don't know if we can make two. It's probably hard to make predictions because you don't know. You have an idea from testing. There's only an idea, but teams have had some time to, not a huge amount of time, obviously, because the various teams are locked down. But teams may have come up with some interesting ideas when they've been sitting around at home. So I'm quite just looking forward to some different racing, different strategies, different aerodynamics, just some different ideas, and also just desperate to see some F1 racing. So I'm really looking forward to it.
So let's talk about what races we've got to expect then. It's a very different calendar at the moment than the one that we were talking about a few months ago. Obviously, this weekend, first weekend of the season, will be in Austria. That'll be followed by another weekend in Austria the week later, so a double Austria header to start with. Then moving to Hungary the week after. Then there's a couple of weeks break, and it's the British Grand Prix, or the first British Grand Prix of the season, at the end of July, followed by another British Grand Prix, which is being dubbed the 70th Anniversary Grand Prix, just to so you know which one's which. And then the week after, it's off to Spain. A couple weeks break, off to my favourite track, to Belgium. And then the final confirmed race at the moment is Italy, from the 4th to the 6th of September. Alex, what do you make of the lineup that's sort of being proposed at the moment?
Exciting. They're all great tracks for one reason or another. I'm very, very, very excited to see the doubleheaders, both Austria and obviously Silverstone. Would be great to see different kind of strategies that they will use. Obviously, it's been already said they have to use different compounds and stuff, so that would be very, very good to see. And as I said, finishing with Italy, nothing better than that for me as well. Hopefully there will be some more races maybe later after that. We don't know yet, but at the moment the calendar is great, shorter but great.
Obviously, a number of races have been sort of cancelled completely. There's no hope of kind of getting them back on track, the likes of Monaco. Yeah. And as a Max Verstappen fan, I'm sad to see that Zandvoort won't be going ahead this year either. I mean, which tracks do we still want to go to? Do we think we might be able to go to? What's still on the wish list before the end of the season?
Have they cancelled Baku? That's something I don't know, because if they haven't cancelled it, then I like Baku as a track.
That has been cancelled, hasn't it, I believe?
Then it's gone out of the window.
with which races have been cancelled and which haven't? Yeah, Singapore, Baku and Suzuka were all cancelled. I think there's talks of going, I saw rumours this morning, of doing another Italian Grand Prix. Mugello,
that is the, that's MotoGP one. That is a great track. Not sure it would be good for Formula One, to be fair. I don't think it's wide enough. It will be like a new Monaco, so it's a bit, I'm not entirely sure. I would be excited to see that. Imola would be great to see back, but I don't think it's safe enough to race there.
I mean, it's that big question, isn't it? It's where's going to be safe, where can they make safe, And it's obviously so many unknowns at the moment, given the unknown nature of the virus, really. But yeah, it'd be great to see a few more names on that list before the end of the season. I guess the other big thing with this new list of races for the season is that none of these are going to have fans for the moment. I mean, as a fan sat at home watching, what sort of impact do you think it will have on your sort of experience of watching the race? Because there's nothing better than seeing a big group of fans, you know, pushing your favourite around the track. And what sort of impact do you think there's going to be on the drivers who are out there and it's just empty?
So the drivers, I wonder if they'll, in a weird way, they prefer not to have any fans there. Because they probably have less autographs to sign, wouldn't they? And photos and probably various driver, fans meetings or whatever. And I do wonder, I mean, was it Nigel Mansell who said all the years ago that the UK fans at Silverstone were worth a second, which was probably a slight exaggeration. But, I suppose it always makes, as a spectator, it looks better if there are fans there in any sport, because if you're watching something and nobody's bothered to turn up, then you're probably sitting there wondering, why am I watching it? But obviously we're more aware of the current situation, but maybe have less, for us sitting at home, but maybe have less random shots of the crowd when there's maybe something more interesting going on track, maybe. And less dancing Dutch fans probably at Austria, because they've got normally that big stand, haven't they, where they just...
It just seem goes to orange.
Dance. And, yeah, yes. But, we'll see.
I mean, do you think... I'm just throwing this out there as an idea. I mean, obviously, we've seen in other sports they've been sort of piping in that crowd noise. Do you think that would work in F1 like it has worked in other sports like football, which is obviously keeping our pal Michael Bailey very busy at the moment, but would that have an impact in F1 in the same way, or is that something that the drivers just aren't going to be able to hear anyway?
That was my cat, sorry. I was ready to talk and the cat interrupted me. I go off, Kyle, if it's okay with you. I reckon that with Formula One, fan base is great for drivers when they're before and after the race. During the race, I don't think they would give them a different push, because obviously they are very concentrated in driver racing. And I think during the race is that much of an impact for them. Even just as a funny bit, Monza for Hamilton probably is better without, fans. Which we know obviously what has been happening recently in the past few years, but I don't think that even just putting the fan noise is probably a great idea for Formula One, because I don't think that would make really, for football it's different, I would say, but Formula One I don't see that being making much of a point.
Yeah, obviously two very different sports. I was just wondering how, there is obviously an atmosphere, and I wonder if the atmosphere perhaps in Formula One is more for the fans to enjoy and to sort of feed off rather than perhaps the drivers, whereas in a sport like football, it's great as a fan to be part of that atmosphere, but it's something that the athletes can sort of pull off more. It's just an interesting idea, and it'll be interesting to see how they kind of keep fans interacting with the sport when clearly there's no opportunity to be there, and for a lot of fans it's a lot harder to watch it on TV because it has that certain cost as well. It'd just be interesting to see how they keep fans sort of there. I did wonder, as an aside, whether there'd be anything sort of similar. Obviously Sky have the rights for F1, they have the rights for Premier League, and that they have gone out there and made some matches free to air for those with sort of free view or whatever. I did wonder if there'd be anything like that for F1, but there clearly hasn't been. Do you think that would have been a good way to keep fans engaged, to sort of show almost that the sport is still carrying on and you can still be part of it, perhaps in a way that was easier than it had been previously?
Yes, good point, because over here, I don't know if they've decided properly yet, but the British Grand Prix has to be shown free-to-air telly, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's two Grand Prix at Silverstone, so is it the second one, I assume, will be behind the sort of paywall or such? But I wonder if they could have done a thing where, obviously, Sky pay a lot of money for their rights, so it's fair enough. But I wonder if they could have like a delayed. They could show the race again, sort of 4 or 5 hours after the original start time, something like that. But maybe that's something they'll do.
Was the British Grand Prix free view last year? Because I don't think it was. Was it last year or 2 years ago? I don't think it was free to view.
I think it was that Channel 4 had more rights over that as sort of free-to-air viewer than they did any other race. I think it was just highlights for everything else, wasn't it?
Mm. Yeah, as Kyle said, I think, you know, it would be great to get some more fans, you know, especially this weird 2020. As a sport base, I would rather see a Formula 1, as you said, even just if it's not live, even just, you know, just after 1 hour, 2 hours, so you can show the full race. I reckon that would get into Formula 1 a lot of new fans.
So I was just saying, especially with people maybe staying at home a bit more at the moment, then, it might be, could be an investment in a way for future years.
Yeah, sort of a give a bit, you know, this is what we do, this is what you could have if you paid for it. I think, I think that would work. And obviously we've seen that F1 is increasingly going behind paywalls. I think the announcement, was it last week or this week, about German, it's sort of going on to Sky Germany as well. So it's been taken off free-to-air in Germany too. So, I do wonder if some sort of concession would have been nice from one of the major broadcasters, as they have done with football. But, obviously there's a lot of money in F1. And,
that's the problem, isn't it?
But there you go.
Hello, everyone. This is Jake Humphrey here. You're listening to the best Formula One podcast from the best county in the world, the NRF1 podcast. And I wasn't paid any money to say that.
No, I did give you some beers.
Okay, let's move on to the race itself then. If we look at the stats then, last time out in Austria, it was a win for Max Verstappen, with pole sitter Charles Leclerc and Valtteri Bottas behind him on the podium. It was a rare sort of lack of podium for Lewis Hamilton, who came fifth behind Sebastian Vettel. Looking at the past few years, I mean, this is a track which I enjoy personally, because Max has won there twice in a row now. And the only other two drivers to win at Austria on the current grid are Hamilton in 2016 and Bottas in 2017. I mean, very different kind of start to the season. How are drivers going to be approaching this weekend? What's sort of going to be going through their mind? I mean, it's easy for Max to look back at two victories in the past 2 years and go, yes, I can do this. But it's a very different ball game.
I agree with this. It's a different ball game, as you said. It's going to be, I reckon also, if we look back at testing pre-season, it's going to be completely something different. The season will restart with a new set of, you know, statistics, I would say, especially with Austria being one of those tracks was quite fast. If we look, you know, last year, I was just looking at last year basically race, the first five, they were in a race. But after that, it was just best of the rest, really. They were all a lap plus from the others, you know, from Hamilton, basically. I think it's going to be an interesting race. It would be interesting to see what Ferrari did, because obviously they haven't done nothing during the lockdown, but it's interesting to see what Ferrari did to prepare the car looking for this season in the past few months before everything stopped. That would be surely good to see also how they will try and beat Red Bull, because last year they were basically Ferrari versus Red Bull. At some point there was no more Ferrari versus Mercedes, so it's something I'm looking forward for, that especially for the first race, and then second race in Austria will be again something completely different from the first one. There will be like a new race in a different place. That's what my idea, what I can envision at the moment.
I think It's going to be interesting to see how Ferrari approach this. Obviously, Charles was so close last year. He got that pole position. It was looking great. And then just Max coming back a few laps from the end and really proving why that's whole track seems to suit him so well, having come from an incredibly poor start last year. I think it'd be an interesting... Obviously, Charles knows he can do well here. The other side of the garage is obviously a very different feeling. I do wonder, obviously, last time out, we were talking about Vexit, as I think it got dubbed, Vettel leaving. We're no closer to knowing what exactly is going to be happening to him next season. Mm. I mean, what does he do this weekend? Does he have to show that he's still in it, he's still, you know, fit and ready and a good prospect for a team to pick up, or perhaps that, you know, he still has that driving quality, which means he could transfer to any other kind of motorsport series.
I think the quality's still there. I think it's motivation. I suppose that's probably the thing we'll be interested to see. Just to see how he is, his manners, and how he's around the garage as well. And just his, on track, and if he looks... say aggressive, but you know what I mean, sort of on it. And will the pressure be off in a way that he knows future, and maybe, you know, he may have decided that this is it and I'm just gonna have a blast for the last year and kind of go out in style, unless he puts on a performance and gets in a position where Mercedes think, well, why not give him a go in our second car. I'm really intrigued to see what sort of Sebastian Vettel turns up. Hopefully it's relaxed and the old Vettel from the Red Bull days.
Yeah, no, it'd be interesting, obviously, you know, once they get onto track, he will be making, I think it'll become clear very quickly sort of what attitude he's going to be taking to this season. Just be interesting, obviously, as the weeks go past, to see what happens to that situation, whether he does end up somewhere else or this is it, you know, we're sort of doing an Alonso and saying goodbye. The time off has been very productive for some of our Norfolk hopefuls as well. George Russell has done fabulously well on the, on the virtual track. Is there a chance for him to build on his EPRI glory, do we think? Or, you know, is this going to be another tough year for George Russell?
If he was in a different car, maybe, I would say. He's a great, talented driver. He showed that in Formula 2, you know, he won the championship. He showed that in esports. A lot of people say esports, yeah, it's just a game, but it's not. Esport is much more than a game, and we've seen that with professional drivers that they don't get anywhere near to win, you know, races. It's like a proper full-on race just on a computer. So he showed that he can win it. He's got a concentration to do it. Esport is much more difficult to keep the concentration on because you're in your own comfort. He's a great driver. I think he would need a better team behind himself.
I didn't watch many of the e-races. Am I right that he was quite inexperienced in sort of...
Yes, he just literally started it.
Yeah, which is...
And he won two races.
He won them by a fair distance as well, didn't he?
Yes, yeah.
Which kind of impressed me in a way that he sort of knuckled down and really got engrossed in the whole e-gaming and dominated, which that sort of thing is going to be impressive to other teams as well. I think, well, he works that hard, and we've obviously heard about his PowerPoint presentations that he gave to the Williams team. So, it shows that he's a hard worker and will do anything to win, in a way. So, I think that's only done him good. The only problem with Williams is sort of there's a lot going on in the background, isn't there, which sort of worries me for him. But I think if he can beat Latifi or dominate Latifi, then it's only going to be good for him.
Obviously, it's all sort of bubbling under the surface at Williams. Obviously, the change of sponsor, Rocket moving to Mercedes. It's been an interesting time for Williams, and whether he'll be able to completely sort of lose that off track concerns when he's fully on track will be interesting to see. Somebody who's probably hoping that his esports career is not matched on track. Another of the youngsters, Lando Norris, who did quite well out at Austria last year. Let's just hope that he doesn't suffer similar computer problems with his car as he suffered during those races. I'm not quite sure what was going on there, but he fell out of, like, literally just dropped out of those races several times.
Yeah, that was sort of like Giovinazzi in the last race that he was going and the car just flipped upside down. So hopefully that doesn't happen, but yeah.
And of course, our other sort of Norfolk, although, living in Suffolk, I do claim in the Suffolk interest in Alex Albon, who's proved himself as a very valuable asset for Red Bull the second half of last year. Obviously looking to sort of keep his seat going into the next season. It should be interesting to see what he can do in a full Red Bull car going round at Austria. I think he'll push Max quite hard this season, perhaps more so. He's settled down, he's not a rookie anymore, and he's got used to that car, so I think it'd be interesting to see what he can produce this season, whatever this season is made of in the end. So let's have a think then about some predictions. Let's split the predictions then into two. We'll sort of look at some sort of perhaps some season-wide predictions, what we think will happen. I mean, a good question to start with might be, how many races do we think there'll be in total? And then we'll have a look at some perhaps for the Austrian Grand Prix specifically. So, answer me this then. How many races do we predict there'll be by the end of the season?
That's a very good question.
Bear in mind, we've got eight... scheduled at
eight
the
so far. I'll go 16. Like it'll be like an old school Formula One championship from the 90s. 16 races.
16? Wow. Mm. I'm going much less than there. I'll probably go around 10-12.
10-12? Okay. Mm. I think I agree with you there. I think Alex, it'll be a lot less. Perhaps 12, maybe. Yeah. I think I'd go with 12 probably. I mean, any sort of other sort of season predictions? Who's gonna do well overall this season? Who's gonna struggle?
Oof. I'm intrigued because Lewis Hamilton is a slow start is probably too harsh, but he sort of gradually makes his way into the championship and sort of peaks sort of June, July time. I'm interested to see how he gets on early on because he's Bottas is pretty handy around Austria. In a weird prediction, I'll say that Hamilton's first win maybe second race at Silverstone. So he'll, reasonably slow start.
That could be losing the championship, basically.
Yeah. With the championships, do you expect to know how many races there will be on the target races will be before the season starts? Because it seems a bit strange to start a season and then still have in the background that races could be announced later on. I know, obviously, it's unusual circumstances, but I was quite expecting to hear more races announced before the first race.
Yeah, it might be a bit early, we'll say, but I think by the first race in Silverstone, I think we should be knowing the full calendar. And I put this there. This is my prediction before the predictions, and I can put one whole pound onto this prediction. I'm poor. I can't put more than that. Yeah, exactly. Brazil will be in the calendar, even though there are so many millions with COVID, but Brazil will be in the calendar, and it's for political reason.
That's quite an out there, given the situation at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Is it about just politics? Just that's what I'm saying.
Do you think that would be towards the very end of the season?
Yeah, one of the last few races.
Mm. Okay. I think we'll lose some... I think this will be the end I don't know. I think it's going to be a tough season to predict, obviously, because there's so many unknowns. I think Lewis might scrape this another championship. I think he'll scrape it. I think it'll be tight. I think he'll be pushed by the likes of Charles Leclerc and Max Verstappen the whole way this season. I think, and very controversially, I'm just going to put this out there, I think Vettel will really struggle. I think because he can't see what's coming next and there's nothing... I think, you know, he's not... I don't think his heart's in it anymore. I think he'll struggle this season. I think he really will. There's just... I don't know. Without that beating kind of passion to keep going, you end up driving for fun, like Kimi Räikkönen.
And I agree with you, Katie, there. I think Vettel is getting to a point like Rosberg that is doing the last season... That's it. I don't think he's even gonna go back to race in a different category or different, you know, kind of motorsport. Kimi, even though it has this persona in the media where he shows like he doesn't care anymore, but I think he still has a lot of passion about racing, and he shows that because he's now taking his son into go karting as well. So he shows that got a passion into it.
He looks quick though, isn't he, son?
Yeah, he looks quick. Yeah, he looks good. Yeah, and he's quite young as well. That is good, yeah. But I think with Vettel, he's got too much at stake. You know, he lost what he had before, so the championship, you know, the stuff. And he just got, a new family. And I think that weight for him is probably too much to keep at the moment. So trying to mesh up with a family life and racing life.
It really could be Vexit. I don't know. I think he's just... He's been a stunning driver over the years. He's, you know, he pushed that Red Bull team to new limits. But that just... We forget how long that was ago and whether he's really still in it. I just don't think he is. It'd be interesting to see what happens to him this season. I'm just not very confident for him. I think we'll see other people. I think the youngsters, as they were sort of branded last year, will really come into their fore this year. You know, they're not rookies. They're not newbies. They're not, you know, even just a, you know, fresh faces. They're properly committed drivers, and I think they'll push people like him who perhaps, to fans, don't seem quite as committed anymore. I think they'll really push them. Let's go on to the race then itself. I mean, how do we predict this one? Testing is a different lifetime ago. We're talking about a completely different racetrack to set up on. I mean, any thoughts on what could happen? Any predictions, boys?
So Verstappen's won the last two Grand Prix.
He has won both. Yeah, the last two. Last races two. At Austria.
Would he make a hat trick? I kind of think he's favourite going into it. Red Bull looked quite good in testing. Seems to be a track it favours. Will he get a hat trick there? No, I'll go for Bottas victory.
Bottas victory.
Yeah, flip that. I'll go for Bottas victory. He's pretty handy around there. Yeah, he'll start well.
And I was going to say exactly the same.
Okay.
Yeah, I had the first three in mind, and then after that is a bit more of a blur, I would say. But I had Bottas. Then it was more of a fight between Leclerc and Verstappen again, to be fair, for the second and third position. I don't see Hamilton again getting into the top three for this one. As Kyle said, it starts normally slow at the beginning of the season. It's not a track, I would say, for Hamilton. Even though it's a fast track, I don't think it's one of his favourites. So I will keep those three at the moment up there, and then the rest I will decide across the time.
I think I have to, as a Red Bull fan, I have to back Max on this to go for a third one. It's like you said, it's clearly a track that he can get on with well, even when he has an incredibly poor start like he did last year. He is an overtaking king on the track. So even if he does have a problem, I think he'll I think he might drop it a little bit at the start again, but I think he's so good at overtaking and so quickly that I don't think it'll be too much of a problem. I think Charles will push him. I think Leclerc could come in second again. He's just clearly so eager and so passionate and just everything perhaps at the moment that Vettel isn't. I think Hamilton will sneak onto the podium this time. I think it's going to be an interesting year for Valtteri Bottas more generally, but I think Hamilton will knock him off the podium and try and right the wrongs perhaps of last year. But that's my thoughts.
I feel Ferrari will probably still struggle. I think they'll be firmly in third place based on team performance. I think Red Bull and Mercedes will be stronger. I think Ferrari was worrying what was happening in testing. I think the Racing Point might push them. The pink Mercedes it's been known as, which is a little bit unfair in my opinion.
So you're touching on teams there, Carl. I mean, who do we think may be the best of the rest this season? Obviously, McLaren came up so well last time. Last season. I mean, are they going to be able to keep pushing it again? Obviously, they're facing their own off-track concerns at the moment too.
Yeah, Red Bull, Mercedes, and sort of Ferrari in third by themselves, and then I think the battle for fourth between Racing Point, McLaren. I think Renault might surprise a few people. I think they're relatively quiet testing, but look reasonably impressive. So I think there'll be a good battle between them. And I think they'll be closer to the front. And I think it'll be interesting to see how Racing Point get on with how they develop the car. Because if they have they admitted, didn't they, that they kind of copied it, the Mercedes. But it'll be interesting to see how they develop the car through the year. So I'm really looking forward to that battle. And also they're kind of weird. Danny Ric leaving Renault and Carlos Sainz already going to Ferrari. It'd be interesting to see how that affects the team, if it affects him in any way at all. But it's all to look forward to.
And going back to what you just said about Racing Point, I actually think it's very interesting, as you said, to look after how they develop the car, because they might be very fast at the beginning, so maybe the first 2-3 races. After that, if they don't keep developing the car, they just copied, you know, the blueprint, the car will just die down. And also Renault, I think, like now don't supply engine to anyone else, so they don't even have that income coming in extra. So I personally don't think that they will do any good this year. They will probably be down with Haas and Williams. Probably Haas doing a little bit better than last year, hopefully, because they got a team, they got a car. They just need to get the drivers as well with it.
I think I agree with you there, Alex. That will be kind of the scrum at the bottom, Williams. I can't see Haas kind of changing their fortunes at the moment, like you say, without changing those drivers. I saw something about, you know, Grosjean still has dreams of an F1 World Championship. It was great to have dreams, but it's great to have.
Got to be realistic.
It's not realistic in that Haas car at the moment, given it the last few seasons. Maybe he needs to have a look at some smaller dreams, like, you know, beating Magnussen more comprehensively. let's start there and build ourselves up. And apologies to any Haas fans if that is particularly. Catty.
I've changed now. Gone to Renault.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Sorry, I forgot that.
I'm obliged to support Renault.
Yeah, obliged. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, I think we've covered what is going to be an incredibly difficult season to predict anything happening in. Like we said, we don't even know what the full shape of the season's going to be yet, but we've had a good go there, I think, at looking at all the sort of main points going into this new normal, this great unknown, as it were. So we'll return with episode 264, which should be an Austrian Grand Prix review shortly after round one of the 2020 Formula One World Championships. So much deja vu. In the meantime, thanks to Carl and Alex for joining me on this one. Thanks, guys. It's been a tough one to think about, but we've got there.
Thank you, Giddy.
It's been good fun.
Fantastic. And like I said before, do keep in touch with us on social media, all the usual platforms, Twitch stuff coming soon, and F1 Fridays every Friday as per normal. In the meantime, this has been the NRF1 podcast. We'll see you next time. Until then, good night.